Thank you, Brother Jim. Morning, brothers and sisters. I had this sermon brought to me about 3 weeks ago. And I had to write it down because I would forget it. So I went ahead and wrote it down on paper. Just so you'll know, when I'm looking down here, I'm reading. But I'd like to talk about what Jesus went through so that we might receive our salvation. And also what he expects of us, that we might receive this gift of salvation. So I would like to start by looking at Matthew's chapter 27. Start with verse 24. It says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood, of this just person, I guess so. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him, and laid him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And setting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusations, written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. What I read here kind of explains what he went through for us, and all he asks of us is that we be baptized and keep his commandments. So let me ask, when people see us, do we look like we're following Christ? Do we look like we're keeping his commandments? Does the rest of the world know we're Christians? The Lord tells us his people are a peculiar people. We look different. We act different because we're supposed to be different than the world. We're supposed to be a light unto the world. The world should see us and know that we're different. They should know we're followers of Christ and that we are true Christians. The scriptures tell us that we should shun the very appearance of evil. In another place it says, ye shall bear fruits of them. And by their fruits ye shall know them. What he's saying is if we're Christians, there's got to be evidence of it in our lives. We cannot be Christians without having no evidence of it. Some people think that all you have to do is be baptized and you automatically go to heaven. But we know that ain't true. We are expected to keep his commandments. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. We cannot have Christ in us and continue to live like the world. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse, it tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So if we're true Christians, follow what he commands, he will forgive us of our sins, and we will have a new beginning. We'll have a fresh start. But he don't expect us to continue in our sins. He expects us to start anew and be clean. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. We'll start with verse 15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This tells us two things. We have to bear fruits of repentance, and we must keep his commandments, or we are workers of iniquity. Let us look at John chapter 15. We'll start with verse 2. It tells us, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." What he's saying is, if we bring forth not fruit, he'll cast us out. But if we bring forth fruit, he will bless us. But also, he will give us trials that we may grow in him. Verse 3. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." So if we're in Jesus and he is in us, how could it be possible for us to live like the world? We could not. Therefore, we must be different. We must show fruits of repentance. Let us turn to 1 John 2nd chapter. We'll start with the 3rd verse. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Christ is our Savior, and he is also our example. We must do as he did and walk as he walked if we want to be saved. I'd like to turn to the book of Alma, 16th chapter. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if we will repent and harden not our hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. In verse 228, he's telling us that we must labor to do right, to prepare ourselves for the judgment day. And now I say unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say when ye are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at that time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, you have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he does seal you his. Therefore the spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you. And this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous does he dwell. Here he tells us that we cannot be wicked or live sinfully and expect Christ to live within us. Yeah, and he hath also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom to go no more out, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, and that ye should work out your salvation with the fear of God, and that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that you humble yourselves even to the dust and worship God in whatsoever place ye may be, in spirit and in truth, and that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, and that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day, for he rewardeth you no good thing. In verse 235, again, he tells us that we cannot be wicked and expect God to be with us. He just won't be there. Let's go to the third chapter of Alma. We'll read verse 89 and 90. And it says, "And also the Spirit saith unto me, yea, crieth unto me with a mighty voice, saying, Go forth and say unto this people, Repent, for except ye repent, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, the Spirit saith, Behold, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. Yea, a fire which cannot be consumed, even an unquenchable fire." Here he's telling us if we don't bring forth good fruits or fruits of repentance, we will be cast into hell fire for eternity. So now I'd like to turn to the book of Mosiah, second chapter. Verse 11. "I say that this is a man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. And believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourself before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that ye do them." And in the 16th and 17th verse here, he's saying that not only must we repent, but we have to forsake our sins. We can't keep sinning. "And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tested his love and received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures. Humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. If one knows the Lord and knows all the blessings he's done for us, all the things he's went through for us, we need to give him a lot of praise, honor, and glory, and we need to obey his commandments. Jesus said, Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he is like a tree who is planted by the river, who always brings forth fruit. In another place, Christ said, He who winneth souls is wise. We bring more people to Christ by our example than we do any other way. People are always watching, especially if you're a Christian. I don't know if you've noticed, but you can do a lot of good things, but you just make one mistake and people notice them and they never forget them. Christ said, "By this my Father is glorified, that ye bring forth fruits." In Revelation, chapter 22, verse 14 and 15, he said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loveth or maketh lie." I don't want to be one of those that are without. So if we say we're Christians and we're no different than we were before we were baptized, we need to examine ourselves. Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. He paid for our sins with his precious blood. And on the third day he was resurrected that we might have eternal life. And so in closing, I'd like to ask that we remember the sacrifice he made for us and always do and keep his commandments. I thank you and God bless.
Thank you, Brother Nathan. Number 59 will be our closing song. What number did I say? I'm sorry, I've got 57 opened up in my book. It's 57.
Heads in prayer. Our Father, art in heaven, we truly thank you for the gift of thy Son once more. We thank you, Lord, for the word that was brought forth this day, and I ask, Lord, that it would sink deep within our hearts. that as Nathan broke the bread of life, Lord, I pray that we would take those words of wisdom with us throughout the week, and not only the week, Lord, but throughout our lives, that we would examine ourselves and look to see what it is that we need to cast out to make ourselves more Christ-like, that we would truly be able to follow after thy Son, Jesus. So we thank you once more. Guide and direct us in fellowship this day, that it would be pleasing in thine eyes. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.